Gorgeous Entrepreneur.
Welcome to Radio Gorgeous. Joining us today is fascinating dating guru, feminist dating guru, Hayley Quinn. Hayley has worked in the dating industry for 7 years. She's coached thousands of women and men, been the featured dating expert on shows ranging from The Apprentice to Made in Chelsea. I love Made in Chelsea. Has given TEDx talks on love, has founded her infamous YouTube channel with her biggest social experiment video, clocking up to 3.5 million hits, which is extraordinary. Has two fabulous podcasts, Love HQ and Attraction HQ for men, because we're not going to forget about men, and has a book coming out soon as well. She's busy. Thank you for letting us take up a bit more of your time. How do you do it all?
I don't know. Caffeine. Lots of iced coffee.
I spied your iced coffee earlier, and I'm a little envious of that. Okay, I suppose the obvious question is, what is a feminist dating guru?
Well, you know what? I had a little think about love recently, and I was in, bizarrely, the most unfeminist aspect of dating. I was in the pickup industry, and that's how I got my break. I was a ghostwriter doing that.
Explain how you would ghostwrite that.
So basically, I fell into the job, and essentially I'd be given a brief. And the first blog series that I wrote was Diaries of a London Playboy. And of course it was me, a 23-year-old woman, just having to do a creative writing exercise. So, I mean, after having that experience of that industry, seeing kind of about the marketing and how things were pitched to and how men were being spoken to, I went into dating, and then I kind of looked around at dating, and I looked at the messages women were receiving, and I was like, oh my God, these are really horrible as well. Whether it's a company that's called Catch Him and Keep Him or Get the Guy or that famous dating Bible, The Rules, which literally, quote, tells us to go to the gym and dye our hair blonde.
And of course, there's nothing wrong with doing that, except...
But I think us all, you know, adopting this clone strategy to attract this one model of relationships, I started to look at love a bit critically, and I thought maybe the way love has been designed or how our society views it actually doesn't really benefit women. It doesn't benefit the individual. And in fact, it does a lot of disservice to men as well.
Well, can I jump in here? So the other day I was somewhere, I know this is about you, but I think this is interesting. I was somewhere the other day and met a man who talked to me. I don't know why he was saying it, but he said he does the game, which is the kind of famous pickup.
Yeah.
It's just like a way of thinking or some rules for men to get women. And my point to him was, A, it feels disingenuous to snare a woman like that. And it does feel like you're snaring. And then I said, and you're missing out.
Right.
He's missing out.
He is. I think the sad thing is, you know, most of these guys that get really involved in that or feel like they need to put on this persona in order to attract women, all they're doing is giving themselves a huge thumbs down, basically. It's downvoting their actual personality and who they are. Now, I'm not saying, I am actually a big believer that there's social skills that you can learn and develop, regardless of whether you're a man or a woman or what your sexual orientation is, that can improve your interactions and your dating life. Do I think that we all need to rigidly abide by like the same rule book to achieve one particular goal and trap anybody? No, I definitely do not.
Because how can that work?
It doesn't work. I think, for instance, if we look at the rules, you know, if you don't communicate your emotional needs, if you play things extremely cool, you might attract a partner, but are they a partner who's going to be best suited to communicating with you, respecting to you, being sympathetic to your needs and responsive, all the things that actually make a good partnership? No. So it gets a kind of guy, but the kind of man that you probably want to have in your life, I'd say no.
And it's exactly that. It's like you're putting out... well, you're not putting out. Maybe you're put out. But it's like you're
definitely not allowed to put out.
You're definitely not allowed to put out.
That's rule 20. Like, just don't get naked, basically.
Never get naked. But it's kind of, again, you're not being the real you. And there is no point attracting someone who's not right for the real you.
Exactly. And I also think, you know, as a woman, you know, I think obviously intimacy is a complicated issue. I think some people just feel much more comfortable waiting to build a romantic bond with someone, and it can make a lot of sense to do that before you have physical intimacy. But I think just unilaterally deciding that he doesn't get access to my body because that's my bargaining tool here is just a horrible way, again, to look at male-female relations.
So is it okay to call you a feminist dating guru?
Yeah, I like the word feminist. I'm not even against the word pickup artist either. Okay. I think both words, I think, have so much contention around them. And I think the interesting thing about whether you're into feminism or pickup is that, like most things, there's different factions in them. It's a complicated group of people that often disagree with one another. So you can't just lump everybody in the same thing and say all feminists are anti-men or
pickup
artists are evil.
So is feminist dating guru ethos is kind of women have the balls?
I would say it's more about, you know, just questioning the rules that you would look at and how you approach dating and thinking, actually, is this serving me? Is this about putting across who I actually am? Am I going through dating with the right model to attract the kind of partner that I want? Or have I got kind of sucked in by how we view love as a society, whether that's rules I think I should abide to in terms of when I should text him, when I should have physical contact with him, my expectations around relationships that come from like music and movies, and actually looking about how much we're losing ourselves in that.
I'm nodding furiously here because soul music has ruined my life. Ooh, baby, baby, I can't live without you, baby. Apparently people can live without me.
Yeah. I know, it's awful. Sometimes I've tried to live out my life a bit like a rom-com, you know, and at some point, no matter how evil the person's been, I fully expect them to turn up with flowers and an apology.
At the end, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
RadioGorgeous.com.
On your site, we'll talk a little bit more about the site in a second, the kind of tagline is empowered love and dating for real life.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
So empowered means actually honouring and taking ownership of what you want and who you are and accepting actually we all probably want slightly different things. And when it comes to all those like dating questions, like when to have sex with someone or who should split the bill, there isn't a rule that like God or somebody set out that we all have to follow. It's actually about defining your own personal value system within that. So that's where the empowerment comes from. In real life is because whilst I'm not like, I think, you know, online dating has its place, I'm a huge fan of both men and women developing skills to meet people in the real world.
Yes. we'll go into that in a sec as well. So the basically, there's no rules. Is that what you're saying?
I think that instead of like defining, being self-aware enough to define where your own boundaries and expectations are and things, and having actually acceptance around that, because we are wired differently and different things stimulate us and excite us, and instead kind of trying to fit this one-size-fits-all Western model of dating, I think that's stupid.
You and I talked about this the other day, and I thought this was really interesting. So something that Hayley did suggest in a way to kind of find love is to tell your next sexual partner, or your hopefully now sexual partner, the number of sexual partners you've had in the past.
I think, you know,
that's crazy talk, Hayley Quinn.
I know. Well, you know what? You don't have to sit. I'm not saying sit them down and say, hey, baby, I've got something to tell you. That would be pretty bad. I just think if the question comes up, there's literally two good responses to it, which is one, you know, if that's your, you consider that private information and that's your life, then you don't have to disclose. You don't have to sort of like offer up any information to someone if you don't feel comfortable to. The other thing is just to be honest about it. Because I think the other strategy, which is, you know, like divide by two, subtract three.
Square root.
The square root of divide. What does that, if you think about it, what does it do? Because like on a micro level, you're suggesting that your partner might lack respect for you or judge you or not want to be with you based on the amount of sexual partners you have. That isn't an accepting, loving, modern, progressive relationship. And then on a macro level, you're paying into the big problem, which is like women, that we become less valuable the more sexual partners we have, which goes back to us being looked upon as objects, or, you know, basically like penises get better the more use they have and vaginas get worse, and that is like an awesome thing.
Clip that. Let's use that. Let's talk about
okay, there's a feminist
there
in me coming out.
Let's talk about did you just say vaginas get worse?
Yeah, it's because honestly, it's that. Well, I obviously don't believe that, but there's a definite thing. I read this brilliant article, feminist article about it, which is true. It's like sometimes the attitude we carry towards women having, you know, a higher number of sexual partners, it's almost like the vagina is like a tissue or something. It just gets ruined, you know, by the more engagement that it has, and that's just not true. Whilst obviously a man, no one ever cares.
It gets sturdier
and stronger. And it's just like, it's just rubbish, you know?
What's the watershed? No, it's fine.
I tried to use nice words.
I know you are. I was using the PC words.
I
know what
there.
You meant, lady. So on your site, I think there's some great events on there. So the site is Hayley. Hayley gives kind of dating advice on the site. You have the HQ Club. Tell us what the HQ Club is.
The HQ Club is an on and offline club. So basically it's, instead of paying or subscribing to like a dating site to get matches, instead you subscribe and you learn skills to actually meet people in real life. So that can be online learning through videos. We have a really active forum community where I answer people's questions every day. And we also do monthly members events, which can be anything from a social mixer between our men and our women's group, which is like a big social experiment.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It is, but it's not in a matchmaking way. It's in a sort of understand the other sexist psychology. I teach things like conversation tech, which teach how to improve your interactions, conversation skills, flirtation. And like, for instance, on Friday this week, we're doing Field Study, which is an absolute sellout always amongst our female members, and they get the event for free. And it means that we take 9 brave women, brave but very keen women, out to teach them how they can approach men in real life.
See, I think brave is a key word here. So Hayley also runs events, Going Renegade and Love Revolution. Explain what happens there.
Okay, so Love Revolution, it's basically a philosophy, it's a talk, it's about the whole concept to kind of get women to really think, well, if this hasn't worked for me so far, if I've been tearing my hair up, getting really anxious following this one model, is there a better way that I could be going about this? Going Renegade is the practical version of that, where, as the title suggests, we do 2 evening field studies. So we go out to bars and not clubs. We go to bars and evening events because the women I work with are not of a clubbing inclination. But then we also go out during the daytime as well. And so we have a focus there, which is about, you know, gate-crushing Whole Foods and just discovering all the ways that you can create conversations with strangers and meet men in real life.
I must just say, there's a little bit of noise going on, and that's because we're allowed to say we're in your lovely apartment. We're in Hayley's lovely apartment. It is really nice.
But there's workmen everywhere.
And there's workmen everywhere, but I'm sure not in a professional capacity. They're professional.
You know what? No joke. Like, over this summer, there was a window cleaners were cleaning the windows of my apartment, and me and my events manager, Alex, we lured him in with freshly cut watermelon like a pair of witches, just because I wanted to recreate like the Diet Coke moment. So I'd be vaguely threatened if I was those guys, not the other way around.
I'll warn them as I leave.
Gorgeous entrepreneurs.
So when you're in somewhere like Whole Foods, give me an approach. How would I?
Okay.
Because honestly, it makes me sweat, even the idea.
Right, and you are, you know,
I'm quite ballsy.
Yeah, you are ballsy. So I just say with everyone, whether you're a man or a woman, there's a range of techniques that you can use to begin a conversation. You don't have to walk right up to someone and be like, hey, baby, I think, is it getting hot in here? you know, in the freezer aisle or something. You don't have to do that. In fact, we start actually just using non-verbal things, like if you increase proximity to someone, because often men will fear a lot of approach anxiety, they'll feel uncomfortable taking those 2 steps to say hello to you. Doing things to improve your visibility. So can I get his attention more by creating more physical movement, by putting my pan bag down in a particular way? Up from that, you can ask a question. So you could say, oh, do you know where the X is?
Oh.
Or, what's your opinion
on ex-wife?
Yeah, what's your opinion on craft beer? However, the key there is to recognise that if you just use a question, men will answer the question and they'll probably recognise there's an opportunity for romance approximately 48 hours later. So you have to learn then the conversation skills about how to give a signal that conversation is to continue. You can use lots of things like observations, like if you're in the queue and it's not moving, you could just say, hey, I like how we've been here for 5 minutes and there's no progress on the queuing front.
Yeah.
And so chiming in and giving somebody something to respond to. So nothing is forceful. It just creates the opportunity to connect.
You know what a head mode might be? Because I remember talking recently saying that I was a really bad flirt, and the person I said it to cried laughing. And I think what I meant was, if I like someone, I can't flirt with them. But I think naturally I'm quite a flirty person. So maybe we should, in our head, act like we don't like them. Or is that a terrible thing to do?
I actually think NLP would say that if you want to create a really good, strong social bond with someone, actually from that first few seconds.
Sorry, but I don't mean act like don't like them to them. I mean, in your own head, convince yourself that you're not attracted to them, so therefore you can talk
to them. Self-hypnosis. I think it's all about just trying to keep... It's so difficult, right, when you like someone. Hormones are rushing around. Oxytocin is there. Your inhibitions are lowered. But if you just kind of keep perspective, and often, you know, the thing I hear from women is like, oh my God, he's perfect, you know, after date 2. And you're thinking, actually, he's net 5 hours you've known this dude, right? Like, that isn't long enough to make a good assessment, because people are really complicated. And a lot of the time, I think the things, again, that we've been conditioned to expect in society, which signal romance to us, sometimes don't really set up for a stable relationship, you know, like the whole fireworks
thing. Something real that will last.
Exactly. And I mean, like, and again, whether you want what is something real and what kind of relationship you want. Some people want a long-lasting, super stable, no arguments, steady relationship, and there's a kind of person that's able to offer that to you, probably a kind of way that they'll engage with you, and a whole dating process you can go through. Other people really are drawn to the intensity of those extremely romantic, passionate relationships. I can see it both in our eyes.
Me too.
And I think, you know what? Society also judges that quite a lot and says that actually that's somehow not right. Yeah. And I think actually it's about, I think I'm a big fan actually of just accepting what your natural desires are and pursuing the kind of relationships that are rewarding to you with some self-awareness.
And what you're doing as well is not anti-men at all, is it?
No, like I feel like I've got loads of men that I work with and they're on the men's side of my business. And you know what? They actually get kind of like a rough ride in some senses as well. Like they often feel a lot of pressure to be an alpha male, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. You know, they feel like that women are constantly judging them based on how their performance is. They feel a lot of pressure to be perfect. And so I think the trickle-down effect that maybe some of the pickup world has had is that men now actively believe that, you know, women are out to test them and reject them. And again, it just puts all these artificial barriers in place.
It's so depressing, isn't it? Because it just feels like we're all kind of fighting the same cause,
yeah, we are,
but in such, you know, crazy ways.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to do with my book, is to look at where pickup, the causes and how pickup is approaching dating. Because I think it, whilst there's some really horrible bits to it, there's some bits of it that are actually quite progressive. And there is a overlap, as mad as it sounds, with some of the frontiers that female empowerment and feminism is fighting. So I'm like, okay, where's the overlap between these seemingly two weird worlds? And how can we use that to actually work together to create a more progressive, more modern version of love?
So I'm interested in dating in my age group because so I'm 50 now. Is it different? Are there different rules for 40s and 50s? Or I'm assuming you're going to say it's the same rules, but something I will say is the in real life, which is you touched on this earlier, versus, you know, IRL versus URL. Mm. My perception now is if we're in a bar or a club, I wouldn't be in a club, but if we're in a bar, we're so busy looking down at our phones.
Right.
We're not looking up and seeing the man that's opposite us who's also looking at his phone, who could be, you know, or the woman who's opposite us, it could be the person.
Perhaps because he's in the same bar or that he's gone to the same event, you could probably hazard a guess that he might have a similar background to you, he's probably got similar likes. He actually might not be that many degrees of separation removed from you. So I'm big into actually phone down, and even just as a tip for the women, if you're meeting a friend, I know this is impossible because I'm currently running 15 minutes late for everything, but if you can try and be 15 minutes early instead, and just have some time when you're actually by yourself and your phone is put away so that you can engage with the world around you. And also, I can safely say that it's not that he doesn't want to approach you, it's just that culturally he feels that if he approaches you, he might be making you feel uncomfortable, that he's interrupting you, that he's being creepy. So the vast majority of men are so conscious of that that they simply choose to not engage
in real
life. Which
goes against the rules, which says if he's not attracted to you, he's not coming over.
Yeah, exactly, which is such a load of rubbish. It's like he might be really attracted to you / terrified. He might see that you've got your phone in your hand and you're on Twitter and think, oh, she's busy.
Yeah.
He might see that you're with a friend and assume that you're having a one-on-one conversation and think, actually, because I'm like a respectful person, I'm not just going to go barge in. So you have to have that time by yourself looking actually like you're not doing very much.
Yeah.
And then if possible, moving closer to him in order to give him the opportunity to connect in real life.
Are there specific dating tips or advice that you would give to this age group, 40s, 50s? Is there anything specific?
I think that the most important thing to me is the mindset there, because I think that a big kind of cultural myth that we've somewhat bought into is it's like, where have all the men gone? You know, or that there are no men left. Like, all the good ones.
I'm loving this, yeah.
All the good ones
have gone.
All the good ones have gone. It's like, we're looking and it's like, I'm sorry, you came to the supermarket too late, and so there's only the really rubbish fruit that's
aubergine.
Left.
Aubergine.
There's an aubergine that's a bit shriveled in the corner. That's the only one you got. And obviously, like, I'm not denying that, like, as obviously at different ages in our lives and with different demographics, the dating pool will reduce. However, especially we're living in like London, like, there's a lot of people here. There's a lot of people. Yeah, so I think it's actually about being a bit more targeted in terms of thinking carefully about where these people will be, but just actively going, oh, they just don't exist. It's just unhelpful, and it's just simply a myth. And actually, if we dig down into that myth again, it's the subtext is simply saying, you know, if you're a woman, get in there young. Be quick off the mark.
So again, it's anti.
It's anti so many things. And I think it scares me how much that message comes through. And I think, to be honest, women that are dating, particularly as they're re-entering dating, maybe they've had a divorce, they're an older age range. I think, like, what heroes? Because the messages you hear on, like, a day-to-day basis are enough to scare anyone.
And there must be, in the same way that there are women re-entering dating world, uh-huh, in that way, same as men.
Yes, definitely. And I think, like, yeah, and I mean, again, you might want to think about where this man is. Here's what I do. I'd profile this guy that you're interested in. What kind of industry does he work in? Because I'm being very London-centric here, but there are specific geographic areas where people will be spending their time, whether that's like near Temple and Embankment, if they're in legal, or it's obvious spaces city people go, creative types hang out. You might also think about where he's living. You know, he might have had a family, or he might have moved out to the countryside, and so therefore the dating pool actually just outside of London.
It's in Sussex.
Yeah, but it's true. So I've actually found, you know, that going to kind of events, that just being clever about where you're going to events, and also not just assuming just because he's older or he's attractive that he's off the market. And
or he's younger and he's attractive. I mean,
I'm all up for that as well.
Yeah, I think would be. you would be. Tell us when your next events are.
Right, so I have, for my Hayley Quinn Club members for women, we have our field study, which is actually on Friday this week, which you might just miss this one.
Yeah,
I also have my Christmas party, which will be really fun. I've got two separate ones actually for men and women, and they're at the end of November. Going into the new year, we have a bunch of different club events, and I think my next Going Renegade, I think it's March 17th.
Yeah.
And obviously I have a ton of events around V-Day, Valentine's Day.
VD, as we like to call it in the industry. So you can find Hayley on Twitter at Hayley Quinn. Hayley's book is called The Evolution, Why Love Needs to Adapt and How to Survive. When's that out? Do we know yet?
I think it's next summer. No date yet, though.
And go visit HayleyQuinn.com for more information on all her events and her fascinating take on finding love. Hayley's got a new project. It's called Project BB, and I'd like to now wish Hayley a lot of luck. Thank you so much for being on Radio
Thank
Gorgeous.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited for Project BB.
This is a Radio Gorgeous production for Radio Gorgeous 2016. For more information, go to radiogorgeous.com.